Thank you so much. We were talking backstage about how worship stirs our hearts and gets us ready to open God's word together. Let me pray for us as we do that. Lord, thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your word. Lord, I pray that we would be ready to hear this morning what you have for us. And I pray, God, that we would not be hearers only, but doers. We pray in your son's name, amen. Well, I told you last night that contrary to what we learned as children, that we were going to call each other names this weekend. And last night we started by calling ourselves and calling one another child. And this morning we're going to think about what it means to be sheep. We're going to call ourselves sheep. I've always loved sheep. I grew up in a little tiny town in Connecticut at the bottom of a hill. And my mother used to walk a lot. My parents got married when they were teenagers. They didn't have a lot of money. We had one car. My father took it to work, so that means everywhere my mother wanted to take us three kids, we walked. And because I was the oldest, I really walked, even though the other two often got to be pushed. But we walked up a big hill to Mr. Johnson's sheep farm. And we would just go and stand at the fence and just look at the sheep. I think that's why I like to hike, because of that big hill. But also, I think I've always loved sheep because of that, because that was our outing. That was our big fun for the day, is going to look at Mr. Johnson's sheep and enjoy them. But I didn't understand the significance of a sheep, of what it means to be a sheep, until I got older. And soon after I came to Christ at 19, I was at a yard sale, and there was this little painting, vintage-looking painting, of sheep. And I don't know why, maybe you don't experience this, but I experience this a lot, where you see something and you don't know why, but it moves you. So here I am at this yard sale and I see this picture of sheep and I just start to cry. It was like God was impressing upon me at that moment that I am a sheep. I was a lost sheep. Now I'm a found sheep, and I just felt gratitude. So I paid my $3 at that yard sale and bought that little print of a painting, and it still hangs on my wall, and I look at it and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm a found sheep. Some people don't like to be called sheep. One of my students at Biola said, I don't like that. I don't like being called a sheep. Well, I hope after this morning you will. We're going to be in two places this morning, Psalm 23 and John 10. If you're the kind of person that likes to have a finger in both those places to make the flip easier later, we're going to start in Psalm 23. And it's been said that there's a psalm for every sigh, for everything in life that makes us, there's a psalm. The psalms cover the breadth of all that we experience. The good, the hard. But if you find yourself sighing these days because you long to be known, or because you long to be satisfied or protected or gathered or provided for, or you long to rest or be led or be loved, well, then you are in the right place this morning. If you sigh because you fear that you don't have enough and that you're not enough, or you fear that he's not with you, then you are in the right place this morning. You think about this psalm. It is so well known. It's on the wall in hospitals. It's on the front of sympathy cards. Our children often learn it. And it's such a cool piece of scripture, because although children can understand it, because it's simple, it's deep enough that it keeps theologians busy pondering it. And so if we have children over here and theologians over here, you and I are probably somewhere in the middle. And this psalm is for us. It has comforted God's people for 3,000 years, so may it do the same for us this morning. So Psalm 23, I'm going to read the first three verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So, our one big point this morning, God is a loving shepherd who takes good care of us. So I want us to walk out of Ponte Chapel this morning and just with a heart overflowing that we are sheep and we have a good shepherd. So we're just going to walk through the words of these first three verses. The Lord is my shepherd. For many of us, those five words are enough to make this psalm a favorite portion of scripture for us. Who's talking here? David's talking. David knows a whole lot about what it means to be a shepherd, but he's talking here as a sheep. He's not talking here as a shepherd, although we know that was his job. He's talking here as a sheep, and he's talking to his own soul, and he's talking to you, and he's talking to me. And he's boasting of his shepherd. He's describing this relationship that he has, and he's describing his shepherd's behavior, but he's doing it in terms where he's kind of boasting or he's reassuring his own soul that the Lord is my shepherd. And he knows all about what that means. But and perhaps you know a lot more about shepherding than I did. Maybe some of you have sheep. But I had to go learning about sheep when I was jumping into this psalm. And at first glance, I can see that David is deeply satisfied and grateful and comforted by the fact that Yahweh was his shepherd. So just think about this. Think about what David is saying. He is saying that Yahweh, the one true God, the God of Israel, the one who created everything in 7 days, the one who established a covenant with his people, who led his people out of Egypt, who promised to multiply Abraham's descendant, who made a way to atone for sin, and who dwells in the temple, this God, the one who keeps his promises, the one who is feared, the one who is only seen face to face by Elijah and Moses, this God, in all his gloriousness and his self-sufficiency and his eternality and his omnipotence and his holiness, the creator who made everything out of nothing. Okay, right now, if your mind is kind of being blown and you're thinking God is big and he's beyond and he's transcendent, good, because that's, I think, what David had in mind. This God is his shepherd. This is the one that he has an intimate relationship with. I think this blew David's mind, and it should blow ours as well. The Lord is my shepherd, I think was shocking for David. Because he was one as a boy, right? He knew it was the job of the youngest son. How could the God of the universe be a shepherd? We hear it so often that I don't think that it sounds to us like it would have to him. That the Lord Yahweh, I am, the divine name that was so holy to God's people, the all-sufficient one, could himself be a shepherd. But David tells us and calls him his shepherd. A common, hardworking, messy, lowly animal keeper. That's what David thought of a shepherd. The shepherd was the job, as I said, for the youngest son, not a glorious one. So I think David wanted God's people to know, and he wants you to know, that the I am cares about sheep. Why? Because he is the great I am. Because it's part of his character. He's our shepherd because he cares for us. Not because we are deserving, not because you're a cute little fluffy white lamb. But because of his character, because of all the things that a good shepherd is, he shepherds out of the plenitude of his being. He shepherds out of the overflow of who he is, not because I'm cute and fluffy and deserving. what else did David know about shepherds? He knew that they cared for sheep because sheep could not care for themselves. He knew that sheep had no way. They had no means of defending themselves. They didn't roar. They didn't have claws. They couldn't run quickly. They couldn't escape or fight. It's very interesting when you think of all the creatures that God made, that he made sheep kind of helpless. They need to be defended and protected. And this is the part where, this is why people say, I don't really like being called a sheep. They're not very smart. They're not very smart. And they get really dirty and they can't clean themselves. Isn't that a picture? Can you relate to being dirty and not being able to clean yourself? That's what we have to realize before we can come to Christ and say, I need to be cleaned up. So, they can't defend themselves. They're smart, they're not smart, and they're dirty, and this is what God calls us. Do you know the Bible calls us sheep over 200 times? It's not just here in Psalm 23, it's a lot. So if we say, I don't want to be a sheep, we're kind of in denial because we can't ignore it. It's all over the place. So let's not miss it. If you can't identify as a sheep in all their foolishness, dependency, wandering, sluggishness, and inability to find their way home, then you cannot know the shepherd in the intimate way that David is talking about. And don't we long for that? Don't you long for the intimacy to know that the Lord is my shepherd? So take a minute, and just ask yourself, can you thank him that you are a sheep? Do you need to ask the Lord to help you see yourself as a sheep? Maybe that's where you're at. Do you need to confess that you don't like being a sheep? Just take a couple seconds. Think about it. Lord, wherever we're at, we pray that you would minister to us in this. And I pray that we would delight in your being our shepherd. Amen. So, as we said, sheep, they desperately need to be cared for. And they desperately need to belong. They need to belong to the shepherd. We are not our own, it says in Scripture. We need care, and the good shepherd cares. And we need lots of things, and he provides all those things. And we'll get more of a glimpse of that as we move forward. So the Lord God is a shepherd, and David is amazed and seems that he's boasting in the Lord, or at least he's bolstering his own soul, isn't he? He's reminding himself. Okay, I want to look at the word my. My. Don't miss this possessive adjective. David's not just naming God as shepherd. He's calling him my shepherd. There's an intimacy here. David knew that he needed a shepherd. He knew that he needed the careful, attentive, and care that comes from a shepherd who possesses you, who owns you, and who was marked on the ear. Their ears were marked so they knew which shepherd they belonged to. We talked last night about being a child of God and God putting a name, giving us his name. I'm trying to remember the exact words I used last night, but putting his name upon us. I think that's how I said it. But how they did it with sheep, they mark your ear. You belong to me. My name's on your ear. So it was obvious who they belonged to. So if you long to belong, the good shepherd is saying, come, be my sheep. And if you are in Christ, you do belong to the shepherd. And like David, you can claim the Lord as your own shepherd, the best shepherd there is. And there are a lot of implications from coming that come along with being a sheep of the good shepherd. And David goes on to tell us what some of those blessings are. And here we go. I shall not want. Well, we can be sure that David's life was not that different from ours, that he had work to do. He had experienced loneliness and anguish of spirit, I'm sure, and hardship. A lot of the things that we have or are dealing with. And that he wasn't free of any sort of difficulty. So we can conclude that David had wants. It's part of what it means to live within this world that God has made for us. Between the paradise in Genesis and the paradise in Revelation, in the middle is life as we know it, and that means life with wants. We see lots of characters in the Bible wanting. We could spend all day naming them and identifying the things that we see in Scripture that they wanted, but for sure we can just conclude by saying David had wants, we have wants, and David is saying here, I shall not want. So, it causes us to ponder. Is it just a matter of we need to adjust our attitude? Is it wishful thinking? Is it New Age philosophy? Is it some sort of health, wealth gospel? If I just think positive thoughts, then they're going to come to be. I don't think so. I shall not want. I want to think of it in two ways this morning. That it's a declaration and it's a decision. So David seems to be declaring on behalf of all of God's people that our shepherd meets our ultimate needs, that his flock is not lacking careful, attentive management, that God is aware of your desire. God's aware of your desire for a husband or a baby or a job that gives you enough money. Or for a cancer-free report. God is aware of all those wants. And those are good. So often our wants are God-given. So often we want blessings that are good. And it's not wrong to want them. They are often in line with God's purposes for us. And it's good and right to pray for these things as wants. But can we hold those wants in one hand and in the other hand remember that our shepherd's goal for us is that we become more like his son? Our shepherd is so attentive, so good, so beyond us that he knows and he has a plan for how he will make us into the image of Jesus, and he even uses our wants to sanctify us. So often I ask the Lord, I want my definition of good things, the things I want, to align with his definition of good. I know his good is that I be conformed into the image of his son. And that needs to be my want, and I need to recognize that that's for my good too. I think that's what enabled Jesus to say in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. Can hold both of these things at the same time. My want in one hand and his good for my life in the other hand as two parts of my whole life. I also said that I shall not want is a decision. It's a decision. We can decide to not desire more than the shepherd gives us because we trust his character. We can say no to the temptation to crave a different shepherd or to desire a shepherd who takes care of us differently than we wish. Sometimes we might think we don't like his plan for our sanctification. And even in the midst of hardship, I shall not lack the loving care of my master shepherd. And boy, our culture just wars against contentment, doesn't it? And it seems like it's gotten worse in the past 4 years or so. I think, I don't even like to say the COVID word anymore, but I think that something shifted. Well, a lot of things shifted. That's like understatement of the year. But anyway, but something shifted with regard to isolation and eagerness to speak up with our opinions on social media, things like that. But it just, it seems as Americans, if I'm just reading the culture right, we seem to be less content than we used to be. And there for sure are right times to speak up and be discontent about the way things are. But sometimes I wonder, where are all the folks saying, I'm content with what I have? I'm thankful for what the Lord has given me. I want to be on that team. And I wrestle to be on that team, but that's the team I want to be on. I want to decide to be grateful with what the Lord has seen fit to construct my life, what he's decided to give me. I have a friend who, at my church, was really, really close to his mother. And he only had a mother. He didn't have other family members. Very close to her. And even as an adult, he still lived with her and helped care for her. They came to Christ together. Beautiful relationship. Well, she died suddenly, and he was devastated. And I remember during family time at church, once a month, we meet on Sunday nights, and it just usually is a smaller group than Sunday mornings when, you know, you have a lot of people, but it's usually just the kind of the core of the church comes Sunday night. And he stood up to share about his mother's death. And at one point, he was crying. He closed his eyes, and he stamped his foot, and he said, I will not distrust God because he took my mother. I will believe that this was God's will for my life, and I will rejoice in all that I have in the Lord. And I thought, what a picture for us. He wasn't fake smiling. It's all good. Not at all. He was weeping, a man in front of his church, a grown man in front of his church, weeping and stamping his foot. Not easy, but he was saying, I'm making this decision. Oh, I'll never, ever forget it. David goes on to tell us four things that the shepherd does. He makes, he leads, he restores, and he leads some more. Notice this. These are all in the present tense. So when we read that, we're not supposed to think God made David, God led David, God restored David. No, it's today. God still restores, he still makes, he still leads. It's today, and it's for you. He is my shepherd today, ladies. His watchful eye roams the world. And he has the world that he's made, and he sees when you are longing and hurt and lonely and grieving. He's still doing this thing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I remember sitting in this little country church in Vermont back in the, I don't know when it must have been, 90s. My great-grandmother had died. That can't be right. It had to be before the 90s. My great-grandmother had died. And small country church and just family and just a couple like neighbors at her funeral. And the pastor read this psalm. And it makes me smile to think back of it. I think he was trying to comfort us about her death. But my little gritty, petite, 4'11 great-grandmother was no romantic. And although she had many, many pastures, beautiful green pastures, there was no way she ever went out and laid in one. But I think the pastor was trying to comfort us by saying, she's finally resting in heaven. She's finally in the green pasture, which is heaven. I don't think that's what this psalm is intended to teach us. This is not for later. Now, will we have abundance in heaven with the Lord? Yes. But this is for us today. He leads and he makes us lie down in green pastures today. This is not only about the hope of heaven, which is great, and we see that in many other places in Scripture. But this is about today. I have a picture that I want to show you when my husband Eric and I went to Israel, and I found this so moving. This isn't the exact one that I went to, but we visited a sheepfold. And I had never thought before about a sheepfold. But we were in grad school, and we were walking in Israel, and the guy who was teaching us said, this is what a sheepfold would have looked like, and this can help you understand the Bible. And I thought, oh my goodness, it sure does. Because at night, the sheep would all go in, the shepherd would like shepherd them into the sheepfold, and notice there's an opening, a door. That's where the good shepherd would sleep, lay across that door. I love the picture of this. The good shepherd is laying across this door for two reasons. To keep the sheep inside, because that's where safety is, and to keep whatever outside. Mountain lions up here, bears. To keep the wolves, the thieves, from ravaging the sheep. This speaks to me of how precious we are as his sheep, that he lays across the door to keep us safe. And then in the morning, he moves and he allows them out to find sustenance. Because although there's safety in here, within the sheepfold, there is not abundance. There's not food in there. So in the morning, gets up, moves aside, allows them out. And lest you picture this, see all this grass. This is not what David would have encountered, right? He was in a desert. Anybody watch All Creatures Great and Small? Oh, I love that show. So good. Anyway, that's not what the experience would have been in Israel. It was desert. Little sprigs of grass in little places that the shepherd had to go and find and then lead his sheep there. They weren't just bounding through grassy pastures like in the Yorkshire Dales. No, the shepherd had to go find the places and lead the sheep there. So they had to stay close because the shepherd was leading, and he had to search and determine the best place to graze for the day. So they're out grazing. And then it says they lay down. He makes me lie down in green pastures and beside still waters. Well, here's what I learned in my little sheep research. Sheep don't just eat and then get full and want to take a nap like we might. They won't lay down if they don't feel safe. They won't lay down unless they are free from fear, tensions, aggravations, and hunger. So they are totally dependent on the shepherd to meet all of those needs. And then once they have eaten and they're aware that he's there and keeping an eye out for dangers, then they will lay down. So only an attentive shepherd makes it possible for the sheep to rest, to lie down and rest, to be content and flourishing. we are so like sheep in so many ways. Everything I learn about him, I'm like, oh yes, I can relate to that. He makes me lie down, it says. Even in the midst of hard things and busyness and heartache and unmet desires, he leads us to green pastures where there are little sprigs of grass. And he stands protecting us while we eat and then allows us to rest. If we had time, I'm sure we all have stories of the Lord leading us to green, grassy places and allowing us to feast there. But David goes on, he restores my soul. Even when we can say with confidence that God is my good shepherd and meets my needs, if we've lived longer than a day, we know that it doesn't take long before we can feel weary again. But David said, he restores my soul. This word restores. We can think of it as renewed, like reestablishing relationship, refreshed, where he gives us strength and energy, or reinstated, like back into rightful relationship with him, or revived, like brought back to life. This word kind of encompasses all these things. But something has happened that has sort of drained the life out of you. And the good shepherd fills that store, restores it until it's full again. In Psalm 42:5, the psalmist asks his soul, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Another really cool thing about sheep. I'm skipping some things here because I feel like I need to keep moving. But downcast is a word that refers to sheep. Some of you are from farms, you know that. But a cast sheep, I didn't realize this, is one that gets turned over on its back with its feet in the air. Has anybody ever seen a cast sheep? Yes. Okay. I'm thinking it looks silly. Their little feet in the air, right? And they're laying on their backs. But here's the thing. It's pathetic because they can't right themselves. I know. It's really sad. They can't get back upright. They're frantic. They're flailing. And you know what? They will die. Unless the good shepherd comes and rights them. The good shepherd's always just on the lookout for cast sheep, paying attention, leaving the 99 if he needs to, and going and righting that cast sheep to pick it up. Do you ever feel cast? Do you ever feel like you just can't right yourself? Why are you downcast, oh my soul? He's compassionate and he's on the lookout for you when your legs are doing this up in the air. It makes me think of my sweet dog. I have a dog that I love so very much. I never had a dog until 6 years ago. My whole life, I know, isn't that so sad? My dad didn't like dogs, so we never had. But 6 years ago, I got this sweet dog from the rescue, and when he was 8. And so now he's really old, golden retriever. Don't usually live that long. But he likes to follow me everywhere in my house because I'm his person. And he's precious. But he is old, so he can't get up off the floor often. So he looks at me and he wants to follow me to the bathroom or wherever I'm going. And he can't get his little feet up. So I go under his back hips and I lift him up. And then I actually have to hold him there a minute until his legs kind of wake up and he can put strength on him. And then he's okay. And then he can trot around the block. But getting up, it just reminds me of this picture. Like, I need to be on the lookout. Like a good shepherd for my dog who's not exactly cast but needs help getting up. The Lord, that's what he does for us. He's looking for us. And he holds us up until our legs strengthen and we can find our balance. David goes on, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Again, he's using the same word lead. I don't know if he needed to remind himself again that this is how the Lord related to him. But we often need to be reminded. Isaiah 53:6, it says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. When we trust in our own way, we can get ahead of God. Can't we? And he's no longer leading. He's no longer our God, our guide. Not our God. He's still our God. He's no longer our guide when we get ahead of him. But he knows the right path for us. And they're trustworthy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. His paths are straight, and they are the best for us, and he guides us in righteousness in this way, on this path. I want us to jump to John 10. Because all of what we learn in Psalm, these first three verses of Psalm 23 about the sheep and the shepherd, Jesus kind of summarizes a lot of that. And he particularly puts himself in the place of shepherd. David was talking about the Lord Yahweh. Jesus is talking about himself. And Jesus compares himself in John 10 to everything else in this life that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And instead, he says that he is the good shepherd. Listen to what John 10, 11 through 15 says. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. We said last night that the book of John is a lot about life, an abundant life. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And then he compares himself to hired hands who don't really love the sheep and don't really care for them. But then he goes on, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now think about, we don't have time to unpack all of this, but think about how the Father and the Son know one another. They are one. We're going to talk about this more tomorrow. But this term, just as, is so beautiful for us because he's comparing what we have with him as shepherd and sheep to what he has with the Father in the knowledge that they have of one another. We can know him. We can have that kind of intimacy with him, that just as the Father knows me and I know him. Earlier in that little passage in verses 3 and 4, it says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. It says he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Again, speaking of this intimacy, we can know his voice. Well, what should we do in response to this? I want you to realize something. I said yesterday that we're going to talk about four different identities that we see for ourselves in John. There's a lot more, but we only have time for four. So we started with child and then sheep, and we're going to get to branch and we're going to get to friend. But what I want you to realize is that when we are called these things, when we are identified as these things, it doesn't only tell us something about ourselves, but it tells us something about Jesus. Isn't that so cool? He is the good shepherd. He wants to guide you, care for you, lead you to where you will find nourishment. And so what do we need to do? I think we just need to acknowledge who we are as sheep. Embrace it. Recognize that we are dependent on him. I think it delights him when we recognize that we're dependent on him. Recognize that we're needy and we're prone to wander and that we're unable to defend ourselves. Man, do we live in a time when we're told that women need to fight for themselves and prove themselves. And There's something beautiful about just saying, Lord, you are my defender. You are my protector. And a big takeaway, if we want to know his voice so that we can have the intimacy that David is talking about here and that Jesus is talking about here, that we will know and be known as Jesus and the Father know one another. If we want that intimacy, then we have to spend time reading God's word, because that's where God has decided to reveal himself to us. That's how we're going to know his voice. That's how, when we hear something that's not true, we can say, I know that's not true because I know what my God has told me about himself in his word. So, let's just say this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen.